Hey, hey, this is MC Light, also known as Light Tro, also known as Light the MC, and you're chilling Hip Hop Digest. That's how it's going down, 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 down.
Name a Drake record right now, a single, that can come on the radio right now and work. His music wasn't timeless either. It wasn't timeless. And that's what we didn't realize because he was dropping so much. Everything is not about you. Dog, Wayne ain't said nothing. Nicki ain't said nothing. Baby ain't said nothing. Slim ain't said nothing. Bro, let me tell you something. If I got some and nobody around me stuck up for me, I would look at myself more than I would blame the world. Like, damn, what did I do to make these people not? What did I do? You wasn't a good friend. You came around and you talk like us, you act like us, and you was really on some colonizer taken from us. And then it was cool because we f***ed you. And then you got some nigga shit and now you doing some white man shit. And it's like, now you lost us. And it's just that simple. Let's be clear. When something, the mood right now ain't for you to be on your high city shit. The mood is for you to speak up for the people who are being ostracized, the communities that are being let down. And you can't even do that because you're too busy in your feelings. 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 Feelings.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And it's E Green. My brothers, I got a question off the break.
Oh, you mean after the show we just recorded?
No.
We didn't even record. We just did a whole fucking show before we you even started sure recording. That's crazy.
Hey, yo, turn this my headphones up for me.
This is a new question, though. New question. We good?
Yeah, we good.
Okay. I just want to know, how did you enjoy your boycott day?
I tell you what, it was kind of like, first of all, it was kind of like any other day because I don't live near any Walmarts. Where I live in Montgomery County, there are no Walmarts. The nearest Walmart from Silver Spring, the nearest Walmart is in Germantown.
Oh, damn, that's the closest Walmart?
Ride.
Yep, that is a ride.
Damn.
Shit, the one in Laurel might be closer to you.
Well, you do know it was more than Starbucks, though.
I mean, more than Walmart. It's quite a
I didn't do any shopping. Actually, and I think that would be a great movement if you could get it started. I think that would be great.
Yeah, I have to admit that my ass was in the grocery store. I had no clue about no fucking, because I don't even be online and shit. I walked in, my wife was like, you didn't boycott today, what? Nigga, I went to the grocery store.
Well, you know, I'm going to just say this so we can move on, but it's going to be real hard to imagine that type of activity in the day and time that we live. As we know, the Montgomery bus boycott went on for 381 days. Very well versed on that, all right? 381 days. We asked people, I didn't ask, but we were asked to not go into these stores. There's several more, Kurt, if you want to get the list. There's several more days coming up where they don't want you to go to certain stores or whatever. But I can tell you that I doubt very highly that a one-day boycott is going to shut down Walmart or Starbucks or any of these places that we want to go. I know people want to have a cause and do something great, but one day, it's not going to get it.
So my rebut to that is that if one day, and this is the key thing, the success of that is if we wake up in a fictitious day in the future, and on June the 1st, ladies and gentlemen, national news, Walmart parking lots are empty in over a dozen cities. That shit makes the news.
You mean empty of black people cars?
Empty of period people. Okay. Beyond black folk. You know what I'm saying? See, to me, that's a movement where, you know, I don't care if you're black, white, or whoever. That only benefits you. So if Walmart, Target, I don't care what's anybody just places on the list that for at least 24 hours was empty, trust me when I tell you, yeah, it's not going to put them out of business, but they will be shook because that means there's a difference. Now, will that happen?
No.
I'm agreeing. Probably not. But I'm saying, if it would, that...
Well, if it was a fifth, we'd be drunk as hell.
No but doubt. I'm not disagreeing with you, bro.
Thank you, because there's no disagreement to be had here, my brother. But what I'm saying is what we can learn from history... And I'm talking recent history. We know that Walmart and them, Sam's family, woke up that day and was like, okay, well, we're probably going to miss out on couple million a day, but we'll make it up tomorrow. Don't put no motherfucking smiley faces on nothing. Leave everything regular price. There's ways to get around a one-day boycott. And I didn't get down, but I didn't get down not because I was trying to be a part of something. I just didn't get down. You know what I'm saying? I don't be in Walmart every day or no shit like that, or Starbucks for that matter, or whatever else was on the list. But, you know, we just need a more comprehensive effort if we really want to make some moves, not one day.
In order to really make real change and real difference, and to make these people feel it, like I said, they feel it in their wallet, but you also got to make them feel it when in their political stance. You got to make them feel that too.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Moving right along.
Indeed. All right. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is more jurisprudence, but the cases are moving along. All right.
Oh, shit.
The cases are moving along. Your boy Jay-Z sues his rape accuser after she dropped her case. Now, this is significant because I was wondering if this was going to happen. A lot of people were doing this settlement, this, and Hove or Diddy, somebody may, you know, throw $100,000 at her to make her go away, this, that, and the third. This reminds me of a case, and all of us living in DMV will remember Chris Webber and Juwan Howard.
Oh yeah, damn, I forgot about that.
Getting accused of sexual assault.
That shit was crazy.
And they bring all these charges, and the news was crazy.
They ran with it,
but it turns out that she was a huckster, and they sued her back, and they got their name cleared.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout to Jay, man. I think it is important, you know, because he's right. A lot of these cases are just brought to say, hey, it's a good example. If you were in the area, maybe Jay just throws you a quick 100. He ain't gonna miss it. Combs is already under so much pressure. It settle, you know, and then we get the dough and run. Not this time.
That's terrible.
Now, what I want to know, the question is it right to, because in the case of Juwan Howard and Chris Webber, I do believe that the identity of the person who filed was released. Would that be fair, according to you guys, that her name, you know, would be released?
Absolutely.
Yes. Sure. I'd say, you could go ahead and release her name because you're putting somebody else's information out here and saying that they're accusing them of some horrible things. Yep. Then, yes, they need to know who the hell they're dealing with. And that's probably why he's suing her back in order to get her name released. It's probably the main reason. It's probably why he's doing it.
Yeah, because he ain't about to get nothing he ain't already got.
Right. It ain't like she's going to be able to pay it, whatever he's suing her for. So it's just basically, to me, to get her, make her identity known.
Yeah, it's probably that. Probably to get her to say, you know, or at least maybe if her identity isn't uncovered, but at least in chambers to say I lied, this was false.
He wants to get paperwork.
Yeah, he wants to get paperwork on it. Yep.
Man, she better settle. She better throw that dude some money.
Jay broke anyway. He'll take anything to give him.
So anyway, but shout to Jay. I knew Jay was deadly serious when a lot of people was doing that. I was like, Jay, he's serious about this, you know. So
he's making an example. On top of that, like he said, he was really embarrassed because his kids and shit had to see this, and he got to deal with looking at his wife in the face, who probably might be thinking, "Yeah, nigga, you probably did that shit." So,
but at the same. No.
Sorry. So he had to do something to try to clear it up.
I'll just add this, because we all have an idea, some of us more than others, how the industry is. So I would suggest to just leave it alone.
That would be great.
You got your name back. She dropped it. And even before the thing was getting any movement, she was saying different shit and apologizing for this, that, and the other. So It was a bad look for her from the beginning, right? So I'm saying now, with him being Mr. Petty, I hope his slate is clean because somebody else maybe might be like, well, I got this and I ain't going to take the case off.
I'm down. I disagree. I'm down with Hov. Because of Hov, more than likely will end up getting her, even if we don't get her identity, but we'll end up getting in court and have her admit that this whole thing was a fraud and was a sham. And she's going to apologize to him, his wife, his kids, his lawyer, his pet
but
dog.
What does that mean?
What that means is it's a word. It's a shot across the bow to the next person who is like, oh, I'm going for it. I got this, that, and the third. Yeah.
Well, they better have this, that, and the third if they try to.
There you go. So, and the lawyer, don't forget about this too. This is a big thing. The lawyer himself is going to be like, nah, not only did Jay jam up the person who alleged, but that lawyer, you know, he had to pay Jay so much money that wasn't, you know, covered as much. Ooh, so
attorney fees and all that shit.
Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
Which could be expensive in that court.
I'm down with Hov with this, man. $1 million. So. All right.
If that helps him sleep at night, just getting that apology, so be it. But in a court of public opinion, she's a rat. She's done. She's blown up. He really doesn't, I guess for his own personal, he doesn't need to really go through all of this.
Indeed. All right. Next jurisprudence as the case continues to move through the court system is your boy Aubrey Graham. Now, this is what I didn't really like about this. Your boy Aubrey Graham, it said in probably 90% of the headlines, and I thought about you with this swerve, Drake settles with iHeartRadio. Now, it makes it seem like Drake got dough or evidence to support what he's still continuing to. Amazingly so, he's wasting a lot of money, but...
You just gave Jay-Z props. Maybe Drake is trying to... Okay. Spend his money to get his name.
Okay, but then check it.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Oh,
he's doing the exact same thing. He's trying to make at least the record company or on the low have Kendrick be like, nah, he really wasn't no pedophile. I just said that shit, or just to put it out there. No, that's what he wants.
Okay, so this is the key thing in the court proceedings, in the petition filed. Your boy, Aubrey Graham, wanted iHeartRadio executives to take the stand and turn over evidence that Universal Music Group and other entities paid them to fluff up Kendrick. That didn't happen. There was no evidence, no payment, nothing.
So what is the settlement?
So $0, nothing. See, that was the misdirection. And I thought about you because, again, so many headlines put that out there like Drake got something. No, right. Drake walked away and his lawyers walked away admitting we got nothing from iHeart. iHeart didn't do anything wrong. And that portion of the case is closed. Why they reported it as a settlement? I can't answer that question.
Why did you think about me?
Well, I thought about you only in because that you seem to say that headlines a lot of times do that.
They do it all the time.
Right. There's this sort of misdirection. Oh, yeah. And you think that, oh, yo, Drake got a settlement from iHeart.
No,
he didn't get anything. He got nothing.
There are headlines that flat out lie. And people run with it. So, you know, it's that kind of world. It's not who's correct. It's who's first.
But to me, the headline might have been right, but there was nothing in there written about what exactly happened. I think they settled whatever the case is they had between each other because Drake realizes that he needs them niggas. You can, all these niggas that you suing and going after, you still in the music industry, nigga. You need these niggas.
So let me.
So you might be a god, but they're bigger than you.
Wow.
So you need these niggas in order to survive in this world that you're trying to live in.
So let me read this, B. Let me make you understand here how it goes down here. In the exchange for documents that showed iHeart did nothing wrong, Drake agreed to drop his petition. No payments were made by either one of us. iHeart didn't give dough. Drake didn't give dough to iHeart. He dropped his petition because there was no malfeasance, no setup.
Well, that's not a settlement.
That's not a settlement.
I need these niggas. So I better drop this.
That's a dropping of the case.
Yeah, exactly. And folks didn't report it like that.
They sure didn't.
They did not.
Well, that means that means Drake still has the part of the machine that still works for him. Because they still at least looking out for him in that way to make the headlines look like he got a win when he didn't.
You know, maybe so. I think it was lazy journalism. And two.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's always lazy. I think it was lazy. It ain't even journalism no more. The fucking AI's writing half of these damn articles.
Oh, and that could be true, too.
It don't make no sense.
No doubt. And two, more than likely, when you say he still got part of the machine working for him, I don't know about that, B, because there was once a time where he would have showed up at iHeart and started twisting arms behind backs and niggas would have squealed out falsehoods.
I'm talking about part of the machine, meaning the people that wrote that article, whoever was behind that article headline coming out, still likes Drake. But they wanted to make him look like he got a win when he didn't really get a win, but they wanted to make it seem like he got a win.
Man, if Adam Schefter didn't say it, I ain't fucking with it.
Nigga, if Harvey didn't say it, I ain't fucking with it. I'm a lawyer.
So one of the people I do want to call out on lazy journalism is Rolling Stone. He's super lazy.
Whoa.
Let me read the Rolling Stone part of this here. It says Drake has reached a private settlement with iHeart Media after he sued the radio company in his ongoing claims against Universal Music Group that made covert payments to promote airplay on Not Like Us. See, that's lazy journalism.
He got something.
Right.
But the actual court documents show you got nothing. And wow. You drop the case and admitting that you got nothing in dropping the case. So,
well,
just a whole aura around that nigga. I'm just saying, B, just a continuation of the whole aura around that nigga. That's all.
Well, but he wins nothing in this. I mean, and I'm not talking about in the courts. I'm saying this doesn't gain him any greatness or comeback or whatever.
To me, it's basically him still trying to at least being that thorn in the side, at least saying, you know what, I'm just going to stay here and just keep nagging these niggas till I make them at least admit that I'm not a pedophile, admit that I'm not these things that Kendrick said I was. At least say, okay, it was just him writing some shit. It just sounded good on the record. And we're sorry that you got upset about it, Drake.
Let me pause you right there, Kurt, because that is not what he's suing for or trying to get. He's trying to say that people spent money to have that song played. Not, I'm not a pedophile.
But see, that's the focus in the front, because he knows that shit's actually happening. See, that's the clickbait for the label, because he knows they did that shit for him. He says, I know they can do this shit because they did it for me. They blew me the fuck up. So I know they can blow. They blew up a complete fraud, nigga. And so Kendrick, and they blew it. I know they did that shit for him. They did it for me. So I'm going to stick this in their face. I know what you did. I know what you did last summer, nigga. I know what you did. And you know I know what you did. So either drop this pedophile shit and make sure and get me an apology, or I'm gonna keep this shit going until you make you have to release and unveil those covers that show that you niggas, all these numbers is lies. Y'all niggas just making this shit up.
So let me ask you a question. So let's say the way you see it is exactly 1 million, and then Universal Music Group is like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna just take the entire fucking gas works off, nigga. Your payments and illegal payola too, my G.
They could. And at this point, I think he's at a point of, he's probably like, fuck it, I don't care. I'm rich enough. Fuck it. You want to reveal me as being a fraud? Fuck it. I was Milli Vanilli. I don't give a fuck. I'm rich.
Okay.
Fuck it. I just want my apology so niggas know that I wasn't lying, nigga. Yeah, y'all blew this nigga up and he wasn't even that big.
Yeah, but you look like a liar because you a liar. Your whole shit is veneer. You know what I mean? I don't get it, B. I don't get it. Can niggas just walk away?
No help. B, how many times I got
text? No, he can't walk away. It's been a year.
He's petty, B. He's petty, and it's feeling. Man, how many times we said he's an emo nigga? He's emotional and he's petty. He's two things that you should never be at one time. He's emotional and petty. Mm. That shit makes him relentless towards this goal of just trying to clear his name when he should just let this shit go from the start. It would have been over, B.
Okay, I'm not going to continue to go around. I just wanted. I'm glad so far that he's turning up goose eggs. So, me personally, I'm glad it's goose eggs.
We know you're happy.
We know you're completely happy, B. You've been dead front against this nigga from the beginning, B. This right here is like a victory lap.
So, all right. So, next hop
going to Killer. Do you love me?
That would be a resounding no.
All right,
mess him up. Look at.
Hey man, you know I don't. So, all right. So
pray and pray for my downfall. That's what I'm gonna send you.
So the next two topics we got on the Hip Hop Digest are kind of one is to sort of give evidence of the other. Okay. Jim Jones expresses his pride in promoting gang culture through his music. Now, I'm not going to go into him promoting. That's what it says. He's happy that he promotes jail nigga
shit. Is that another clickbait, or he really said that shit?
No, he said that, and you got to go through that first to get to really prop up the next one.
Okay, but right now, okay. I got work for that nigga.
Okay,
but okay, right. Let's go.
Okay, Chuck D defends Nas. Jimmy ends up at the Breakfast Club and basically questions Nas' relevancy and saying that Nas is not relevant. I'm more relevant than Nas. Now, Chuck D got in. You know, when Chuck D gets involved, there's some shit jumping. Chuck D got involved with that and was like, nah, nigga, what Jimmy is saying, which I would say is kind of accurate. Jimmy is popular amongst jail niggas. Okay. Nas is in Vegas doing whole orchestra performances. You know, Nas is more Frank Sinatra than Hov is. I know Hov liked the thought he was walking around like he Frank Sinatra. Nas is more that. Yeah, Nas is more that than Hov ever
Nas
was.
Nas is like.
Exactly. But Jimmy is like, my music resonates with kids, meaning young jail nigga kids. And I'm in gang culture, so when I go into the city, and when I show up at hood spots, they know me. They don't know Nas. Even Nas and Hit-Boy projects, old heads bought those. The young kids bought my music.
I wish we could have had him on here after this versus what we did, because I would definitely.
Well, the only thing I'm gonna give, the only thing I'm gonna give Jim, and when we did interview him, and I thought that this was right. I don't know nobody else, because at that time Jimmy had that record with the Migos. I don't know anybody that age group that could have done a record with Migos but Jimmy. So I think his estimate is right, but the language is incendiary because Jimmy is popular amongst jail niggas. That's not really putting no money in your pocket. You know what I mean? Amongst young gang jail niggas.
What that does is get him street cred. That's all that gets him to me. That gets you street cred, and it doesn't get you anything other than that.
I was going to say, how much is that really benefiting Jimmy, that an 18-year-old jail nigga facing 10 years likes his shit over Nas?
So we've heard
it gets you street
over
cred.
Our That's time that rap is a young man's game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
As we're told constantly. So you can look at it two ways. You can say salute to him for managing to remain a fan of the youth. But at the same time, you could also say, where's the growth, sir? Just like we've asked all along of many artists, like, how long are you going to be on the block? You're 47 now. And I'm not talking about Jimmy. I don't know how old he is, but I'm just saying.
He's close to that. He's got to be close to that.
You're 40-something now. Why is being on the block more important than having your finances straight, your home straight, your family straight?
Because he is connected to that street culture. And that what he became connected to, and he stayed connected to that, and that is more important to him, that he has this street cred and this visual of him being down with these gangs to make him, to prop himself up and to remain relevant, as he said Nas isn't. He's more relevant than Nas because he's connected to the streets and he's doing this and he's doing that. But nigga, well, you're connected to the streets in a way of promoting something that's fucking up the black community.
Nas had a very large venue packed out. I wonder, would Jimmy have a very large venue packed out?
Of course.
To the head. Not with the crew. To the head.
No, it's not happening.
So Chuck D.
Then we can talk about, that's the kind of relevance that should be important to you, sir.
Chuck D goes on to say, after Jimmy is up on the Breakfast Club saying, Nas ain't really active, meaning active in the street. Chuck D says, Chuck D says, active like this week, ain't Nas play stadiums in 2023 and arenas in 24 and 25? I don't understand, obviously, the, and then Chuck went on to chide people like the Breakfast Club, the lack of coverage on how great is the fact that they got Jimmy up there talking about this. Like you said, Jimmy can't even fill a high school gym. You know what I mean?
Well, he might be able to do that.
Okay.
Because he got the U.
Okay.
They pack out a gym, B. Let's just keep it where it is. No disrespect. But if that's what you're looking for, the youthful fans, then that's what you're going to get. Mm. But you're not going to be able to come to Vegas and pack out the Ahern or wherever the fuck, Virgin or whatever. You're not going to do that.
All right.
And if that's what Jimmy is and he's good with that, then I hope you're okay there, and I hope nothing happens stupid. You know what I'm saying? But
right, you're putting yourself in a position that you don't need.
Man, you got gray hair now, bro. You got gray hair, man.
You don't need to be there, man. You just, and you're willfully putting yourself there. Like you want to be a part of this shit. You want to be a part of some shit that you don't need to be a part of, and it's a negative thing. You're looking at it as a positive, but it's completely a negative thing. It's not like it's doing anything positive for you in a business relationship. What is it doing positive for you if you walk up to the offices at one of these big motherfucking corporations and try to get a deal? What positive reaction are you going to get from being down with gang culture?
I think this is an interesting point, is that for Jimmy, that's what he does. You talk about growth or whatever. What's he going to do? Make an album about 401ks and retirement plans tomorrow?
I don't even care if he's still continuing to talk about this shit. The fact that he's still talking about he's active,
yeah,
and still actively being part of this shit and got investigations looking at you behind the scenes like, nigga, you really down with these niggas? That's the shit that I'm talking about, nigga. You really, really want to be a part of this shit until you get 20 years in jail? Now you don't want to be a part of it no more.
So shout out to Jimmy. We're not going to cover this aspect of it. It seems like it's a real personal situation. Cam and Jimmy really don't mess with each other at this point.
Them niggas go through it. They go through times where they just hate each other. Then they go through times where they back in love again.
Well,
I don't know.
They ain't messing with each other right now, but we actually are not going to cover that. So.
Yep. Okay, I don't know nothing about it and don't care.
All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, do you have the right to battle me?
Ooh.
All right. So there's a little dust up that's happening, and I find the politics around this very interesting. Okay. According to Freddie Gibbs.
Oh shit. I think I saw this.
Yeah. According to Freddie Gibbs, J. Cole has been talking general greasy amongst rap ilk. Like, I could take this nigga out. You average rap niggas can't do this, that, and the third. Okay? Freddie Gibbs is like, hold up. You talking greasy? Step up. Okay? J. Cole fans like, Nah, he part of the big three. You ain't in his division. You don't have a right. You can't even step to him because, you know, he's higher on the commercial food chain. You know, you get so high on the commercial food chain, you get insulated by the general public or the minions, you know, who's out there scrambling for lava beans and shit.
So you calling J. Cole Gru?
He got
his minions out here?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you know, the fact that J. Cole, who ran from the real heat.
He didn't want to fuck with number one. He's number three.
But it doesn't matter, B. He bounced out. Bounced out apologizing to niggas and, yo, I don't wanna do this battle shit. I don't wanna do this battle shit. But then, you know, once he got away from, you know, the real nuclear warfare and came back around, and then now I'm part of the so-called big three. I can shoot shots out my window with reckless abandonment, and you don't have the right, Freddie Gibbs or anybody else, to come to me.
I don't know about nobody else, but I still got Buffalo on my mind when I think of Freddie Gibbs. So,
Well, B, but the politics of this, it doesn't matter. See, to me, it doesn't matter if Freddie Gibbs, if he's got beef or lost to Griselda niggas or anything else. I'm just saying, there are better rappers on a technical aspect than Cole.
There are.
Yes.
But there's
yes.
plenty of them, okay?
But isn't he allowed to say that there ain't until proven?
Oh, but see, that's the thing. He won't prove it.
Oh.
No, see, that's the thing. It ain't like J. Cole is engaging. Hey, if J. Cole's that dude, maybe he should make a quick three-pack and then cut up Freddie Gibbs and send that motherfucker home, you know what I'm saying, with whelps on his back, if it's like that.
You honestly think he could?
No. No.
And even we talking about Freddie Gibbs, who actually is nice, but do you think, you're saying no, that you don't think J. Cole is better than Freddie Gibbs?
I'm saying that he can't put the whelps out on Gibbs.
Right. He's not going
to
be able to destroy
Gibbs. He ain't going to be able to destroy
Gibbs. Nice.
Matter of fact,
in.
Right, exactly. Which is going to hurt him even more because people are going to be like, oh, well, why is he even in the top three? He ran from the big boy battle, okay? You know what I'm saying? He ran from the big boy battle and then wanted to come back and clown regular niggas. Freddie Gibbs cut him up and then you're going to have a lineup of niggas. Oh, okay, I'm ready to take out Cole. See, when you do things like that, that's when you have an insurgent. And I remember when 50 made How to Rob, every fucking commercial nigga in the game was upset. You know what I'm saying? Because 50 really couldn't get any traction any other way. Niggas really didn't want to step up. There was no battles or whatever. And then 50 became an insurgent. You know what I'm saying? Made How to Rob. Anybody who had money at that time got named. And they were upset about it. Okay, and even if you can call him a troll, that's fine. But Freddie Gibbs is saying straight up, let's battle. And J. Cole like, nah, nigga, I'm too high on the food chain for you.
Well,
you ain't in my division.
Freddie Gibbs should do is just make a motherfucking record.
There you go.
And get at him to the point where either you got to respond or you lost.
Right.
Period.
That's what I was going to say. Freddie, if you really feel some type of way about it, nigga, put out your record. Don't wait for him to say something.
Yeah,
you do it, and then hope the shit go viral. Once his fans get a hold of that shit, like, oh, you got to respond, Cole. You got to respond.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get something.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
You have to show and prove.
Cole not going to respond. Cole already put his answer out there. You're not in my division, nigga. You're beneath
his
me.
His fans are going to put him in your division.
Once wait. In there. I'm sorry. Did I miss something? Because did J. Cole say that, or did his fans say that?
Okay, I believe his fans. I didn't really get a direct J. Cole quote. I'll be honest with you with that.
Okay.
So that.
Because I was going to say, that don't really sound like him. To be honest. But, you know, he's not that tough guy any fucking way. He's a rapper who, thugged out type rapper.
Well, but see, to me, that's how this whole thing got started in the first place. Somebody who wasn't a thugged out rapper talking greasy. And then niggas, you know, got sick of that shit. So
yeah, but that person thinks he is a thug guy rapper.
Freddie Gibbs really does think that he just a part-time
rapper.
No, we're talking about that other guy.
Oh, the other guy. Oh, yeah.
That's how this shit, right? That's how this shit got started to begin with. Again, a guy who wasn't.
We're back to him again.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
Okay, thank you.
What we're saying is J. Cole, in the initial spark of this shit, made that record and then realized quickly he might have got some calls. We don't know what the fuck happened.
For him to back down that quickly, like, somebody in Kendrick's camp, somebody over there was like, B, you might want to back out on this.
This is not for play.
Too much smoke for that other nigga. He's got weight. You don't want to be a part of this one.
And I'm not going to clown him for backing out. I think that took, in this day and age, that took a lot of balls to be apologizing and speaking and shit, all of that. It took a lot, B, because we're not used to that. And I could catch a little bit of it in your voice, you know, about his situation with that. But I'm not mad at it. What I'd be mad at is if it did go on, you know what I'm saying, and it went a couple, then he got scared. But no, he jumped out. I'm sorry. I take that back. He didn't get scared. He removed himself from that. And I'm okay with that. But if you're going to say that you want, now this is a new part, if you're going to say that you're one of the top three, then you have to beat down anybody coming for your spot. You can't just say it. You have to prove it.
So let me ask a question. So what about the assumption? This is the thing, that there's levels and divisions that certain cats don't have a right to step the cold. See, that's the thing, B.
I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that because that doesn't exist, B. It never existed. It's just something that maybe in your own mind, maybe in the minds of some fans, but it's not something that exists. This is a battle arena. It's built on a battle arena, and it continues to be built on that, as the current class has already shown that. So you cannot, if you're going to talk that shit, nigga, you better be able to back it the fuck up.
Against anybody.
Well, so I have to say I'm a dead ender on that game, because Cole is greasy on records, and they list the records in this article. Cole is greasy. And Freddie Gibbs just happened to be like, yo, I'm going to engage you on that greasy talk. You think you that deal.
Then Freddie need to stop talking on the internet.
Exactly.
Get a record. Okay. Get a record made.
One out there and then show this nigga that you ready for him.
All right. More to come. We'll see, because, again, there is a large contingent of fans. Thank you very much, Swerve. Who's like, yo, fuck that nigga. He ain't on your level.
Yep, there will be people saying that, and it doesn't even come from him.
Indeed.
He might be trying to just dodge it altogether, honestly. Shit.
Hope this shit quiet down so I can go ahead and get back to just being me.
Mm. Yep.
All right, that's what's up. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, this is a Jive personal topic.
Oh, boy.
All right? Personal in the fact that I was thinking, you know, we're now into the third month, but I'm going to start utilizing what has been given to us by the great people on the text chain.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
All right.
And I was going to say what I'm going to do is come in and say I actually listened to, in full, not 30-second smell test, at least one record that is put up by Pete or talked about on the text chain or Matt or anybody else like that. I'm going to pick a record and listen to it and come in and talk about it. Because I feel like, you know, trying to sift through a lot of that clickbait and a lot of that, you know, the female rappers sneaking with this, that, and the third, nigga. I don't care about that. But I do care about the music. So what turned into one record turned into actual three records that I listened to in full. All right. So the first record that I listened to, I don't know who put this up there, but Life is Beautiful, Larry June and 2 Chainz, produced by The Alchemist. All right. I listened to that entire record. What I'm going to do is set this up 11 over 37. That means 11 tracks over 37 minutes. a nice tidy package. Okay? Nice tidy package. All right? I don't know if I'm a Larry June guy. Shout to Larry June, San Francisco's finest by way of Atlanta. I don't really know. I mean, how many records can you talk about, you know, leather seats and Cartier wristwatches? You know what I mean? I get it. You know, he's one of those guys, you know what I mean? Super fly, super paid, crazy the latest fashion or whatever. 2 Chainz. I probably listened to this to find out what makes 2 Chainz tick, I guess. You know what I mean? Because he is a trap guy through and through. You know, and what makes him want to get on New York beats with very little drums. Caught him on the Breakfast Club. And the only reason why he's on the Breakfast Club is because it's 2 Chainz, Alchemist and Larry June just riding his coattails. I can't even believe it. I'm like, them niggas on the Breakfast Club? Okay. All right. Here we go. So I listened to the record. I don't know who it was on the text chain, but boy, there are some gorgeous beats on there.
Thank you.
I was
hoping you would get there.
There is some absolutely Alchemist. There is some gorgeous beats.
I wish there was an instrumental, B.
Yes.
No offense to them cats, but I got it. 2 Chainz was monotonous. I listened to the album as well.
Okay.
2 Chainz was monotonous like this. He sounded the same on every fucking record.
Okay.
But the tracks, I was like, yo, how do I get the instrumental to this?
Yeah.
Wait a couple months. It'll be out.
There really is. Yeah, there really is some gorgeous production on there. 2 Chainz, as he was on the Breakfast Club, it talks about, you know, and admitted in trap music, I don't get the right. You know, I just get to perform. And this, when you on Alchemist type beats and you rhyming with a guy like Larry June in that whole thing, I get to get my pen out. Now, can 2 Chainz improve his craft? Who knows? I'm just saying. Still thinking about, wonder what makes him tick. You know, why would he? I mean, it's such an opposite world trap.
That nigga
New York
is now
shit.
On the senior circuit.
Okay. All
see,
right.
This type of shit now, this part of hip hop for a nigga that used to be on another level. This part of hip hop to me is the senior circuit. You was out there on the main PGA courses doing your thing. Now you back out here on the shorter courses with the seniors, and now you have to go out here and get your pen out. Now you have to actually see when you
it's
was
not
out,
like he hasn't done this before.
He hasn't done it before. Now let me put it like this: 2 Chainz to me, I think 2 Chainz is capable of doing something. That you would be worthy of, be like, okay, he can write a little bit. I think he's capable, but
that last album he did prove that,
right?
Me, not this one,
right? He's capable of doing something that will make you go, okay, all right, I guess 2 Chainz is all right. But to me, he's moved out. Like I said before, he's off the whip when it comes to trap with these new niggas, and he probably sees it going down a lane that he's like, you know what, I ain't really fucking with them niggas no more. Let me go over here and start to get this PGA senior circuit going, so I can go ahead and make these niggas over here respect me and show them that my pen game is really like that. I could do this like they do.
Mm. Well, all right. So anyway, shout to them brothers, Alchemist, 2 Chainz, Larry June. Life is beautiful. Actually, listen to the entire joint. The next joint that I listened to is Flare Star. And I ran to this because one of my favorite cats, Jay Nice. Shout to Delaware. And I'm so mad Delaware didn't get their shot.
while Biden was in there?
Well, I mean, not so much even with Biden, but still, I thought, you know, Delaware was going to get the same shot like Griselda got.
Right, that Buffalo got that
Yeah,
shot.
Exactly. So, but they never really did get their. So I seen that, and I was like, oh, wow, Flare Star, Jay Nice, and Fredro Star. So I'm thinking, what the how and what could this sound like? You know what I'm saying? It's a very hard hip-hop album. Oh, by the way, 10 tracks over 35 minutes. People are starting to get the revelation.
Tidy 10.
A tidy 10.
I think they're listening to you, sir.
I'm just saying, B, you know, Red Man, I'm so frustrated, yo. You can't put out 25 joints, yo. Just can't do it.
You could have put out 2 albums, B.
Yeah, well, whatever, at least. But I don't want to go down a Red Man hole. But anyway, Jay Nice is absolutely rapping his ass off And all this talk about Freddie Gibbs and J. Cole, this is where you get these niggas in the basement and then Jay Nice shows up and takes both them niggas out because he is super nice. Fredro Starr on production.
I told you that. Wasn't that the album from my fucking list?
Flair Star? I think this just came out. No, this just came out. Flair Star, Jay Nice, and Fredro Starr.
Okay, because I told you Fredro Starr and him did an album and fucking the production was incredible.
This was a pretty hard-edged hip-hop album, hard beats. But really, Jay Nice is really a nice MC. So, you know, shout to him. Listen to the whole thing. It was great, you know. I would say great in the fact that I was glad to hear it. I don't think, be honest with you, probably about 60% of the album I was really down with. There were some tracks that I was like, that's the production's not good. But I'm not mad at the effort. Again, shout to Jay Nice. Shout to whole Delaware, man. I hope eventually you get your shot.
Well, B, if this is going to be a regular occurring segment for you where you're going to be picking out an album, one album or two albums off the tech chain and deciding to come on here and talk about it, I think it would be nice if you would share that with us. See, so that way we can listen to it and we can all get our input on it.
My man, that's easy. No problem.
Since it's on the text chain, it'll be a quick little stream.
Easy work.
Yeah, easy work.
All right, and the last record that I listened to, and I hadn't really planned to or whatever, but again, straight off the text chain, shout to those who post for us, is a Buffalo, New York's own West Side Gunn. It's called 12 Free Sly for Big Dump. I guess Big Dump was one of his boys, unfortunately passed away. It is 11 over 43. 11 yeah. tracks over 43 minutes. All right.
How do you feel about that 43 minutes?
Yeah, that's some long tracks.
Well, again, I think it should be closer to 10, but I listened to the whole joint. I want to give a shout out to that reviewer, because after I listened to it, what's his name? Anthony Fontano, that white kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's funny.
Yo, he's a funny cat. Yeah, I listened to the album, and then his video popped up and whatnot, and some of the shit on there is absolutely hilarious. You know, West Side Gunn, I don't know if they're getting these beats off AI or there is some gospel deep organ tracks on this record that are gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I'm telling you. You know what I mean? The people we got on the record, a lot of Stove God on the record, a lot of SD Knack on the record, you know.
You know what, B? Why? Why niggas, this ain't even a pet peeve. It's just an observation for me.
Okay, what's up?
Why niggas get on these gospel tracks and be saying the most greasiest shit?
Yes, sir. Yep. I would have to say I generally enjoy West Side Gunn. Not all the time, but his voice is so distinct that you could listen to a lot of different music and then put West Side Gunn on and it be enjoyable. Then you got to take it off and then go back to your regularly scheduled programming. You know what I mean?
So I can't do a full album of that, B.
Oh, well, I did a full album. It's not I didn't think it's a bad record. But again, when I listen to records, I'm a production guy first. So some of the production is just, some of them gospel tracks are just absolutely gorgeous. And West Side Gunn is toned down a bit. He's toned down a bit. You getting all of that, you know.
Yeah, but his normal voice doesn't sound like his rap voice.
No, it doesn't. Right. But he is in rap voice, but it's a little bit toned down. But like I said, he's got Stove God and SD Knack and others doing a lot of, you know, and then he'll come in on a verse or two. So he's toned down a little bit, but still pretty enjoyable. I don't know. I think it was Stove God who's talking about, you know, he took his son to Disney and sold a key in the parking lot of Epcot. It was absolutely hilarious.
You know, I got a problem with the nigga taking his son to Disney. Putting your son might have ended up in custody.
Oh, it was crazy.
Yo, wait. Time out. Because I know you guys are laughing, but it's not fucking funny the fuck at all. Especially with the recent shit that just happened. And I don't know who the fuck G Money Lil Ronnie is, but you heard that he just got murdered and his 5-year-old daughter, who just turned 5 years old, was murdered with him.
So I wasn't aware of that, and I don't mean to be, I'm not giving this review in with insensitivity to that.
Yeah,
I have no idea that happened.
Yeah,
so.
That's triggering to me. And I know that you weren't on that, but just the fact that I was seeing that shit today, and we're talking about a motherfucker on a record talking about you took your child to Disney World and you selling drugs. It just makes me... I thought I had removed this shit from my brain. I'm just being honest and clear right now with everybody. I thought I had removed it from my brain because it's like, you can't save these young cats, B. Can't save them. He was told not to be in the vicinity or the area where he fucking went with his daughter. And now they're dead. Him and his 5-year-old daughter. They caught the two young cats that did it. But it's like, this shit it's got to be enough at some point, B.
B.
That shit is not cool.
It's not. And the fact that it triggered you is meaning that you're at a different state, that you still have emotions. Which is a good thing. I applaud you for that, brother. I really do. I wish I could be like that. I lost all my emotion pretty much. This does not bother me anymore. I'm so used to it. I'm insensitive to a lot of shit now. So my sensitivity level is just so much. I don't think I even have nerves no more. So it's crazy to me. So I like to hear that from somebody and say, you still have humanity left when you hear shit like that. But
5-year-old little girl.
Exactly. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy.
All she wanted to do was be with her daddy.
Exactly. She want, and then this type of shit happens. And then a nigga puts out a record and says this shit so nonchalantly, like it's just nothing, and it just moves and keeps it moving along. But maybe he really did do that shit in real life.
He probably did.
Which makes it more fucked up when you break it down literally, it's fucked up. But when you just listen to it, it's funny when you hear like, damn, this nigga took his son to Disney and he's still selling drugs. B, what the fuck? And it's like you said, it's not a laughing matter. But I'm so insensitive to the shit that I can't laugh at it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that I'm insensitive to that. I think that I'm only listening to it within the vacuum that it is presented. It is a West Side Gun record. It is in the same vein of anybody else, rapper X, who is super rich, talking about Cartier and diamond and Italian suits, or crazy on this West Side Gun record. There's another line in there about, you know, getting in a car crash in a Tesla and Louis Vuitton airbags. It is so over the top. It is so over the top and I'm not even going to say comical, but so over the top that he's like at Disney with my kids and in the parking lot of Epcot. It is made to be totally outlandish.
Yeah, clearly.
So clearly outlandish.
Yeah.
That you would actually have somebody take out the manufacturer of airbags and put in Louis airbags.
Right. It's made to be outlandish.
When they paid some engineer hundreds of thousands of dollars to make
but
that
what
shit
I'm
right.
saying is but what I'm saying is I'm not excusing the crime on there, because I've gotten up here and plenty of times talked about cats like Keith Chief and them niggas who these niggas own record actually talking about actual murder.
That shit that really murder. Happened.
Right. Yes. You know what I mean?
Drill music.
Exactly. These drill niggas is actual murder and reporting of such incidents versus, and like I said, but versus some of this West Side Gun shit is so outlandish. You know what I'm saying?
There's a time and place for everything. I feel like that. There's a time and a place for everything. But the way our youths are running around right now, my humanity is leaving as well. It is. But I still have a semblance of something, especially when I hear about a 5-year... literally just turned 5 years old the day before. Mm. And now her life is over because the choices her dad decided to take, which was so unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? Somebody tell me, hey, don't go to North Vegas. Don't go over to, don't be over there on Rancho. My ass ain't going over to Rancho, B.
Yeah, but again,
but
look,
that's taken into effect of your grown man and your wisdom. That, not say grown man, I'm going to say wisdom, because you have wisdom as a five-year-old. But having wisdom enough to know that if a nigga is making threats like that, they're probably going to carry those threats out. And not being on your testosterone man shit, be like, man, fuck them niggas can't tell me where I can go at. Nigga, I'm outside, nigga. I'm going to be wherever I want to be at, nigga. Fuck them niggas. You know what I'm saying? That's that attitude that niggas got. Where you be like, nigga, you know these niggas probably look, fuck that shit. I got my shit with me too. Fuck them niggas.
I guess the point I want to get to is that, and again, I'm sorry for those folks, especially that young girl who lost her life, but I can't on some level correlate that. I know a lot of people do, and I wouldn't argue that point. A lot of people are going to correlate a lot of that to that. That gasses him up so much that he felt like, you know, or if that was what he listened to or whatever. I guess I'm on the opposite side of the coin. I listened to that, like I said before, in the vacuum in which it came. That's not a part of my life. That's not, you know, whatever. I'm listening to the West Side Gun coming home from work. When I get out of the whip, I'm going to bed. You know what I mean?
I'm not going outside.
Right, I'm not outside. So I listen to that in the vacuum. Does that affect some 14-year-old mind? Well, that was a half million albums ago. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a half million to probably more than a million records ago with all kinds of street violence.
Yes.
Throughout the generations.
That is so true, B. And that's why I guess because I can compartmentalize this shit and can put it in different states, like reading books. If I want to read a gangster book, I might listen to some drill type music or some shit like that, where I'm not taking it literal. Even though I know these niggas is really talking to the nigga down the block. These old block niggas is talking to them niggas over here, to these other niggas over here, and they really are about conversating with each other like, nigga, yeah, I just got one of your niggas. What you gonna do about it? You know what I'm saying? They really do it. That's real life shit. But to me, it's just like reading a book. Like, okay, I'm hearing the story. All right, boom, I'm off. Now I'm
secondhand.
Now I'm over here listening to house music. I don't put it in a bubble where it's like it affects me to the point of, damn, nigga, this nigga just said he just killed somebody. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't affect me in that way.
And no disrespect.
And it probably should.
Right, but no disrespect to people who come to that conclusion in their life that is like, you know what, I'm putting all gangster shit down. I'm done with it. And, you know, God works how he works through all of us as individuals. No disrespect to that. So, but anyway, let me finish out.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to see Dolores Tucker the situation, because I will say, there's a time and place for everything, but involving little kids, that ain't gangster.
And no one will say that it is. But again, my only, and it's not an excuse, but that's what happened is a million albums in the making. Ooh. Or probably more than that.
Yeah, probably way more than
probably
that.
Way more than that. You have to remember, there has got to be, conservatively, 10,000 records, hip-hop alone, released a week.
Yeah.
There's at least 10,000 records released every week. And that's conservative talking.
No doubt.
Right.
No doubt.
So,
I'm sorry for commandeering that. It just hit a nerve. Because I was like, damn, I was just reading that shit. And he talking about Disney. You know how many times I went to Disney with my youngest back in the day? Why do I hear that shit?
But never did you sell a key of cocaine in Epcot's parking lot.
At the Epcot Center, my nigga.
I ain't sell shit. I just purchased.
I'm trying to get this 3-day pass, nigga.
Yeah, I'm trying to get in.
but But so what I'll do to end out that topic, I listened to those three records. What I'm going to do also with that is I'm going to probably pick the two or three records that I like the most. And the first time in my life, I'm going to have a running playlist. Just going to be playlisting.
What?
Yeah, for the first time in my life.
You know how to do that?
I'm going
to learn.
I'll learn.
You're going to learn today.
Get on Spotify and make your playlist, brother.
So I have YouTube Music. I'm not a Spotify buyer.
Oh, yeah. You're one of them.
So, yeah. I love it. I will. Life is Beautiful. Larry June and 2 Chainz. I'm going to pick 2, 3. Hell, I might 4. The production's so crazy on that record. You know what I'm saying? The Jay Nice and Fredro. I'm going to pick my favorite 2, 3 tracks over there. And the favorite 2, 3 tracks out of West Side Gun. So I will, the next record that I pick off the text chain, send it to you guys, or at least let you know what I'm listening to.
Thank you.
And then we can all...
we can all go ahead and talk about it.
We can all get in.
Yeah, if you don't, I'm going to make a rap record about you.
Yeah. I heard you was nice, son. Huh? I heard you like the best.
Nah, I got Big Rush on production, nigga. What?
Yo, well, you all right, dude. You all right. All right. You good.
All right.
Nigga's going to be like, beats is nice. I don't know about that nigga, though.
Ain't that the truth?
Oh, by the way, there is an EP coming out very soon. All so. Right.
Shout out to Big
and
Rush.
And I'm talking about Big Rush, not me.
Big Rush.
All right. So what we're going to do, this is a portion where we honor the people who've passed away. Now, because of the sheer volume, what I decided to do is that we're going to do the ladies, we're going to do the queens first, and then we'll do the kings and at the show after that.
Well, there was an amazing one today, B.
I know, but not today.
Okay.
Not
okay.
Today. All right. So we want to say rest in peace out to Valletta Wallace. Okay. From how do you pronounce that? Something Parish, Jamaica. Well, she was originally from Jamaica. I don't know the city. I can't read my own writing. Obviously, Biggie's mom. Everybody knows that situation. She is a retired teacher and the founder of the Christopher Wallace Memorial Foundation. And, you know, was one of the mothers, you know, along with like Jay Dilla, whose mothers had to take care of their son's legacy and their music situation in the publishing. And I just saw an article that Biggie's publishing is about to be sold for $100 million.
I'll save my smoke for after you finish with all these things here.
Okay, indeed. So yes, she was a part of that, just like any mother. So we want to say rest in peace to her, you know. Indeed. Next person is, we want to say rest in peace to Roberta Flack from Black Mountain, North Carolina. You know, on this show, you could do a whole show, you know, but what can you say about Roberta Flack? It is her music, Killing Me Softly with his song, obviously covered by the Fugees and sung by Lauryn Hill, that became a, you know, urban music staple. Where Is the Love with Donny Hathaway? One of my personal favorites, Back Together Again with Donny Hathaway, and Feel Like Making Love. And that's just
awful. You ever hear the first time, like the first time ever I saw your face, like listen to that shit?
Of course. Yeah.
Crazy.
You're crazy. So we could continue to name joints, right?
Yep.
Okay. This is huge because you don't get singing like that nowadays.
Nah.
You just don't get it. You know what I mean? All right. Next person that we want to honor, we want to say rest in peace to Gwen McCrae from Pensacola, Florida.
Rocking shit.
Now, you know, she is also an accomplished R&B funk soul singer from the 60s up, right? But she kind of has probably, in my estimation, you know, and it's not to me hyperbole, the best 3-4 second sample almost in hip hop history.
Oh my goodness.
Her sample from Rockin' Chair from Blase Blase's Danger.
Danger.
Produced by P.F. Cutton is just scorching, you know? And certainly her career was more than a record that got sampled. You know, I kind of look at her career as one of the best hip-hop records ever, but one of the best club records from Her Funky Sensation in 1981.
Oh, my goodness.
Funky Sensation.
Yes, absolutely incredible. And that actually was sampled on an early Tommy Boy record, I think by the Jazzy Five, but don't quote me on that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Don't quote me, boys. I ain't saying shit.
You know what I mean? So we want to say rest in peace to Gwen McCrae. And last, but this is certainly not least, big one hit us, you know, Angie Stone.
Oh, my goodness.
From Columbia, South Carolina. Obviously, we know that she rose to fame as a member of the hip-hop trio Sequence on Sugar Hill Records.
And I didn't know she was part of Sequence.
You didn't?
You didn't?
I did not know that. I just found that out that.
Wow.
How many times I heard that damn record and did not know she was part of that group. I was like,
oh, that Funk You Up?
Yes.
Angie B.
Yep, Angie B.
Wow. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So that's
can I give you a quick story?
Please.
You remember when I was at the Satellites?
Yes, sir.
And all different car artists come in there and doing interviews and whatever. Well, I was I was coming back from that Wendy's right there on New York Avenue, wherever that shit is, right there by the bridge. And I was walking back in, and I saw her.
Which is now bulldozed.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't know that place if I went back there. But anyway, I was walking back into the building, and I saw her and her manager. I was like, Miss Stone, because she made one of the greatest songs in my soundtrack, which is called Brother. But I ran over to her and I thanked her for making that song. I was like, I'm gonna thank you for all the brothers for making that song. Yo, that was one of the greatest hugs I ever had in my life. No extra shit, just a fucking loving hug. I could tell it was real. Like, she was happy and thankful that I was thankful for that song, B. And I was crying the other day when I played it because of the situation that black men and black women are in.
No doubt.
We need to hear more of that, but yeah. That's my just quick little thing on there. It was amazing to be able to tell her thank you for that song.
No doubt.
Wow.
And so throughout her life, she was married to Rodney Stone, who was a member of, was also known as Little Rodney C, and was member of Funky 4 Plus 1. She was married to him. I believe that they had at least one child together. Don't quote me on that. And then in the 1990s, obviously, she had a singer, was a relationship with the singer D'Angelo, and then they had a son as well. The top three records that I'm going to throw out is fun. It's interesting you said that. Is I Wish I Didn't Miss You, I Wasn't Kidding, and Brother. It's funny you said that because that song is super, super powerful.
It's amazing.
Yes.
I was just working on a remix for that record like a couple weeks
ago.
A house remix.
Wow. Yeah,
that song needs to be heard.
No doubt.
Now, over and over again.
Indeed. So as of recording, like I said, we're going to do the Kings next week. As of recording, it was a huge one today. But at the next show, we will certainly run through those folks and honor them as we usually do on the Hip Hop Digest. And I just, you know, what can I say? You know, huge, huge losses.
Wow.
But we certainly, you know, we honor their memory and we honor them and their life force on this show in the Hip Hop Digest. Rest
well.
What
they left on this earth.
Yes.
Yes.
Sisters, yes. Queens, rest well. Mm-mm-mm. No doubt. Indeed. So,
yes.
You got some smoke?
I had a little. When you said Miss Wallace, it reminded me of a situation where I sent you that article where the estate selling off the rights. I guess 50% of his music or something they said they were selling the rights to. I can't remember.
Mm.
But then it got me because I read the thing and I'm like, okay, I don't know if they was working on this deal before she died. But the timing was so, seemed so dirty to me, like these niggas couldn't wait to sell it. Like she might have been the reason why they didn't sell it. She was holding back and keeping them from selling her son's shit. And then as soon as she died, these niggas go out there and sell it. And then when I seen the names of the niggas that's part of it, then my suspicious brain really kicked in. Mark Pitts and them niggas, that's all Bad Boy.
That's all Bad Boy, yeah.
And Wayne Burrow, that's all Puffy's boys. I'm like, oh, these niggas.
They did the
game dirty.
So, again, because the game is dirty in the game, and the last topic on the Hip Hop Digest, we're going to get to that as well. Because the game is dirty, we don't know what percentage Mark and you know, your boy, Wayne, all of them. Yeah, we don't know what percentage they had. Like I said, her, you know, along with Jay Dilla's mother. I mean, they ended up having. Now, we don't know how many kids did Biggie have? At least two? So we don't know how much they lay claim to the pump. Whatever it is, they're talking about a total number of $100 million. That's gonna make people line up and start scrambling and clawing.
As long as his kids get a nice share of that, I won't be tripping.
Well, they should have controlling interest.
They should.
You know,
but when you got them snakes in the background, nigga. As soon as I seen those names, I was like, oh my goodness.
Indeed. All right, so the last topic on the Hip Hop Digest was something that was sent to me by Swerve, and we was going to talk about it. The rapper D1 puts out a short clip, okay? And a short clip about, again, the industry, right? And Lear Cohen was the topic of that short clip, okay? Oh, all right, so I watched the clip, and as I was driving home from York, I was on the phone with Swerve, and I had a revelation. I had a revelation of what we do to each other as African Americans. And I'm giving you the same thing like I gave Swerve. Do you know what a Rorschach test is?
Yes.
Okay. So good. You know what a Rorschach test is. I was like, what we do constantly. Well,
wait. For those that don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For those that don't know, tell them.
A Rorschach test is what they used to do in psychiatry. To put the ink blots on the paper. Fold the paper, open the paper, and give it to you, and you tell the doctor or the counselor or whoever you're seeing what those ink spots mean to you. That's a Rorschach test. And I told Irv, I was like, African Americans, and maybe we all do it, and maybe not just African Americans, all we do is constantly Rorschach test each other. I do it, people do it to me, we do it to each other. And I caught D1 doing that same shit, okay? He's Rorschach testing niggas. He's giving a speech on how dirty the industry is. And then the first test, ding, Lear Cohen. So as the Rorschach tests go, what were you supposed to do? He a white man. He Jewish. He ain't on our team, right? And then they go to a quick cut of Lear Cohen up at the Breakfast Club. Charlemagne with a disapproval. Ah, come on, Lear. Ah, come on, Lear. Ding. That's the second line in the Rorschach test. So what D1 or, and I can't really blame D1 because I don't know who published that video and what kind of editing they did. But the point is, it was meant to set it up to, like, you know, then you got Lear Cohen up there talking about, I got family to feed. I got people I need to take care of. You know, to set it up to give you an emotional reaction, and now I'm going to gauge what side you on. Because if you take Lior's side, you on the snake side of the game. If you take the unnamed artist that Lior's jerking over, then you on the other side of the game. Well, shit, I could do a Rorschach test with Kevin Lyles. I could do a Rorschach test with L.A. Reid.
They all part of that same.
They all part of that same shit.
To me, these music industry niggas is one big cult. That's yep. Exactly what they are.
And so even with, as you were saying, you had some smoke maybe for them ex-Bad Boy cats who lining up to get, you know, they lining up at the trough. You know what I mean? That's all they doing. Niggas are lining up at the trough to see if they can get something off of that Biggie Publishing about to sell. You know what I mean? But that's the industry. And D1, a young guy. And maybe I reacted to that because the last time I seen D1 was when I opened up the Bible app. And he got clips on there reading scripture. So maybe that's where I reacted. And I was like, why are you involved in this shit? Okay.
He's always been off that note, B.
That's what he's always done that.
Okay.
D1's always done that.
All right.
So he hasn't changed his stance. And what that's never. Never. That's one thing I can say about he's very consistent. He's always taking the high road, always taking that side of things. Saying and always talking down on these music industry niggas and how they get down.
Okay, but I didn't.
He was even against the this year long battle.
Okay, I can dig it. But that point being saying is that I guess my point is what we do to each other in as far as getting someone, you know, Will Rorschach test. You know, I'm gonna give Kurt G a test. I'm gonna see what side he really on. You know what I mean? I'm going to give Kurt G the test, you know. Yo, yo, nigga, you down with Farrakhan? You know what I mean?
I want to see what he going to say.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to see what he going to say. Yo, nigga, you eat pork? You know what I mean? Nah, B. And I think it is so unfortunate. And I'm going to try to be conscious of that in my debates, with you, Swerve, and different things, not to sort of set up, I'm going to see what side he on or whatever, because I think that's unfortunate. And for D1 in that clip, B, he didn't really expose anything.
No, he didn't.
Was new.
He didn't.
We already know that that's going on and how these niggas get down. Everybody knows that Lior is one of the three-headed devils. He runs this shit from top to bottom.
But again, like I said, but I'm can start throwing African Americans in that same thing too, because a lot of them,
it's a lot of us, B. It ain't just white devils out here.
Remember how they did TLC? Remember them Suzuki Sidekicks?
and that was Pebbles too.
That was Pebbles too.
Oh yeah, Pebbles. Yeah. Pebbles got jerked too. So.
She got jerked too, but she learned how to jerk and she did other niggas.
Exactly.
So
the whole industry.
Right. So I guess when I ultimately looked at that, you know what I'm saying, and Charlamagne, oh come on, Lior, come on.
You never know what side he's gonna be on when you open that paper. You never know what side the breakfast club gonna be on.
Hey, no question.
You remember Drake sending him bottles of champagne, but now he's dissing Drake.
Hey, so. B, he is a quintessential double agent, no doubt about it.
Oh, damn.
Double agent. Oh, Charlamagne a double agent, B.
See, that's why we ain't on his podcast.
That's why we didn't get invited into the group, son. You did that shit to us, B.
Yeah, I know, right? I just blew the deal.
Oh, well. Speaking of deal, where's Gene Deal? Been mad quiet.
Oh, shit. Maybe they done brought him in for questioning.
Oh, yeah. You need to stay off the podcast.
He can't say nothing else now. He might be hitting the courtroom soon.
All right. We are living in some crazy days, y'all.
Indeed. So I think we're ready. You know what I'm saying? I think we're ready.
All right.
Yeah, I think Kirk got plenty of time to not get run over.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. We're down. We are down fully. You know what I'm saying? With the Digital Freaks albums of the week. Shout out to Peter and Matt.
All right. This week brought to you by Matt. We got Dango, 4Lane, and Loki. Old English, that's Dango, 4Lane, and Loki. Old English, and then brought to you by Pete, which is funny because you just talked about this album. Jay Nice and Fredro Star, Flair Star.
Ah!
Jay Nice and Fredro Star, Flair Star, brought to you by Pete. And then brought to you by myself is the Mussolini and DJ Skiz, the Pierre Hotel. That's the Mussolini and DJ Skiz, the Pierre Hotel.
All right, this has been a fully featured pack show. I'd like to thank the Hip Hop Digest family, everybody who's in the text chain. I'm going to run a text chain commercial briefly. If you are a first-time listener to the Hip Hop Digest and you want the winter meetings, the inside baseball, where everything gets dropped early and often.
Spring baseball's about to kick off, son.
Exactly. You know, about to be spring ball. You know what I mean? You got to be in the text chain, okay? And once you get in the text chain, there is a very small admission fee. Kurgy, please.
The fee is your favorite three MCs, rappers, whatever you want to call them.
Personal.
Personal favorite. Yes, I always forget to say personal. Personal favorite three MCs. And also the first piece of music you bought with your own money, not mama's money, not daddy's money, your own money.
Indeed. So, and that's the text chain. And then you'll get in and you'll know the rest of the family and how we do and how we get down in the text chain. Swerve, you got any mail left over?
You know what Bill Cosby used to say on the Fat Albert show? You just might learn something. Well, hell, you just might teach something. Shit.
Indeed, because we don't know everything.
Hell no. And you get to tell us what to talk about on that bitch.
Indeed. And correct us, because we mess up all the time.
Yeah, We accept it. Mm. Please tell us that we just fucked up. Mm.
Indeed.
And though we got rid of the fishbowl a long time ago, you still might find your ass on here with us. So.
Oh,
you
might.
Oh, look at the fishbowl. Oh, damn, there's still names in there.
It ain't went nowhere. I know this nigga hates that shit, so I just been letting it sit over here.
Hey, it's 2025, yo. We've been doing this shit for 19 years.
Really?
Coming up in March. Wow. March will be 19 years, my G.
Wow.
We've been doing this for a minute, so we're going to keep doing it.
Yes, sir.
We can't.
Indeed.
We can't, or y'all don't listen to us no more.
It don't even matter at this point in time. We the only ones listening.
Hey. Yeah, right, because we still going to talk to each other regardless.
I was getting ready to say, and the problem with that, not really a problem, is that we're going to end up doing the show because we did the show probably 10 years before the 19 years we've been doing it.
Yeah, we always got to get together and do the same shit and talk.
Right. About everywhere we were sitting, we were talking.
All right, we'll see y'all when we get into it, yo.
All right. Thank you, Al Gore, for the internet.
Damn.
I won.
Peace.
Oh, my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh, my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh, my God.
Put out the word, blase has emerged. Surge, most preferred from the verbs and words I finesse. Try your best to diagnose. When I host, you get to roast. Toast, baked, grilled, broiled. When I rumble, you crumble. My stuff is good like Modongo. Soup, rappers getting soup front and rugged. While I'll unplug it with my semantics into nugget and expose. You know how it goes when it be gritty. When we roll, it's like we got the key to the city. It won't be pretty for you to challenge. Off balance, pizza, reconsider your talent. You weasel, you're better off pumping diesel. I find it feasible, your days is over fronting evil. Shouting to your people trying to bless your spot. But we don't believe that, cause CBS tells a lot. On who got shot and who does all the crime.
Danger!
And you do it all the time.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
Time to act shiesty. Come at us feisty to your ass that is pricey. Costing. You get baked like Mr. Boston. Beans in a box. You need more strength than just locks. I rocks. Hardcore even when I dress suited. On some business shit. My street is deep-rooted. What is this shit? Rappers want to blossom. But they all a costume. Thinking we buffoon. I tell you soon you'll learn the hard way. Thames and blunts. Going Broadway. To the theater. Hot rocks is getting weirder. Like Vera. From Alice. The East is in your palace on some proper shit. And it will never be the opposite.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
Danger.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
Danger.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
Danger.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
Danger.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
And when we move on your circuit, you better pray to who you worship. That's recommended. Ass kicks come splendid. But I don't need my respiratory to bless my story. You got nothing for me. It's been plotted behind doors. They scheming up for my arrival. Rappers are teaming up. Doing symphonies. It's gonna be limping in seas. When I plan my rap, you be left handicapped. Sweat gather because I bring you no jalopy. Building on heads that be older than your poppy. Pack a NYPF back, spin to the essence. You get startled by the presence.
When the East is in the house.
Oh my God.
course.
Yo, excuse me, I heard the word from word of mouth that you were into booking flights. My travel agent took a trip up north, and I need to book a flight tonight. I enjoy the getting away from day to day stress, so I need to leave soon. If that's the case, I have no space, but for later I'll be sure to leave. Nah, that's not gonna do. I know that you can find another flight leaving the same time. I need to get aboard. I can't afford any penalties to sit in the main cabin.
No, that didn't rhyme.
It doesn't matter.
What does the money? So the cash and the ticket is yours.
Cool, here's your green. Now I'm out of your scene, but I'll be back to purchase some more jewels. Coming down out of the clouds and I'm running in a turbulence. Need to get up, up higher again. Feeling like my soul's on fire again. Don't need the belt for safety. Show me where the safe be. So I can't take me another trip to the agency. Cause the travel unraveled my woes. But now the craving grows. So I need to get a ticket cause man oh I need to get aboard a plane again. Some say I'll crash but it's my life and cash. Gonna ride it out until the end. Numb to the lift of the whiff. When I vacate frequently, and I got freaking flyer when I retire to death. Tell him that the big C sent me, and a lot of others, man. I'm not the only brother at the airport leading the lift. Or was an agent till I was caught and brought to an unfair court pleading the fifth. Soft ground I prefer upon the mound when I pitch the rock for a fee. Now others say standing at the bat isn't where it's at, but taking hits is where I'd rather be. This chick, but she got me wide. Made me lose my friends and my pride. Had me cashing my check for her. Lost all my self-respect for her. When I was broke, she go solicit other guys. And if we made love, you could see it in my eyes. My fantasy was one day to be a millionaire. So I could reassure that my baby girl was there. I could feel the love, son, I tasted in her lips. Mentally, she was a trip, had a nigga whip. A lot of other cats got strung out in the past. But I'ma get the love blast, then I make the dash. That's why the thought of Miss Thing was too appealing. When I had no dough for her, she had a nigga stealing.
Hands hot.
Now I'm incarcerated, honey ain't around. Into withdraw from her while I'm locked down. 2 years done, she's still a thick dime. Controlling niggas' pockets and even ladies' minds. I'ma ignore with a tempting proposition.
Approaching
me. But when she said hi, I had to listen. I'm sweating beans cause I know I'm gonna bait her.
Better do it now cause you're bound to do it later.
I can't refuse her, my denial's a wish. I fell into her arm when I gave her a kiss cause I like her.
Strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever true. He's misunderstood. Some say that he's up to no good around the neighborhood. But for your information, a lot of my brothers got education. Now check it. You got your Wall Street brother, your blue collar brother, you're down for whatever, chilling on the corner brother, your talented brother. And to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves you. But my black brother,
Don't leave me hanging on the promises. You've got to let me.